Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me for the Friday, February 20th reading of East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. The first article today is from the Scottsdale Progress. It's titled, Big Crowd, Thrilling Finish, Plenty of Arrests at Waste Management Phoenix Open, by Tom Scanlon. The 2026 Waste Management Phoenix Open teed off beautifully, then ended up in the rough. Huge crowds descended on TPC Scottsdale for the week-long tournament, which culminated February 8th. The golf action on this PGA Tour stop was, as usual, thrilling. Hideki Matsuyama, a two-time Waste Management Phoenix Open winner, was cool and collected in protecting a lead over the final 35 holes of the tournament. On Super Bowl Sunday, as the kickoff for the big game approached, the Japanese star needed only to par the final hole to take home another trophy. But his erratic driving came back to haunt him. After ending up in the bunker, he bogeyed on the 18th, but still had a chance to win in a playoff with Chris Goddard. Perhaps it was meant to be. Seven of the last 11 Waste Management Phoenix Opens have gone to extra holes. The 2026 WMPO playoff will be remembered for a stunning putt after an unnerving crash. Golf.com described a moment that may go down in infamy. After Goddard put his drive in the fairway, Matsuyama readied to answer, but in the middle of his downswing, a loud noise pierced the desert air. Matsuyama grounded his swing to a halt, looked at the crowd, and had to once again regroup. An accidental drop of a chair caused the noise. Matsuyama backed away, tried to regroup, but ultimately put his playoff tee shot in the bunker. Goddard, who nailed what one called a ridiculously long putt, took the title. The 26-year-old Goddard landed a check for $1.7 million, $700,000 more than runner-up Matsuyama. Third-place finishers Nikolai Hoyard, Michael Torbenson, Siwoo Kim, Ashkay Bhataia, and Scottie Scheffler pocketed $439,680 each. The Thunderbirds, who produced the event, have not announced how much money the Waste Management Phoenix Open 2026 raised for charity. The Thunderbirds and Thunderbirds Charities have raised more than $226 million for Arizona nonprofit organizations. The Thunderbirds thanked the more than 3,500 volunteers who are the heart and soul of this tournament. Arrests soar. The Scottsdale Police Department reported 11 arrests in and outside the Bird's Nest concerts and 88 arrests at this year's Waste Management Phoenix Open held at TPC Scottsdale. Nearly a third, 32, of the 99 arrests were for liquor violations for people under 21 years old. The 50% rise in arrests from last year continues a trending increase. Police officers made 63 arrests during the 2025 tournament, which was up from 54 in 2024. In 2023, 18 arrests were made, with no arrests occurring during the 2022 Waste Management Phoenix Open. This year, police ejected 112 fans from the golf tournament and 90 from the Bird's Nest concerts. A driving under the influence task force pulled over more than 1,000 vehicles outside TPC Scottsdale February 5th through the 7th. Police made 109 DUI arrests with 23 DUI extreme charges. The average blood alcohol content was 0.15%, nearly double the legal limit for driving. Police issued more than 400 citations for speeding and other violations outside the North Scottsdale golf course. And that article was titled, Big Crowd, Thrilling Finish, Plenty of Arrests at Waste Management Phoenix Open. Scottsdale Winds Up for Cactus League, by Tom Scanlon. To steal the title of a Cameron Diaz movie, this time of year there's something about Scottsdale. Why, this desert city is the perfect home base for a winter escape, proclaimed the headline of a January 30th Oregonian article. Writer Alex Pulaski raved about Scottsdale's upscale resorts packed with swimming pools and thriving downtown core of art galleries, shops, wine tasting rooms, and restaurants. Drumroll, please. Best of all, Pulaski, Crescendos, Scottsdale, and surrounding communities hit average highs of around 70 degrees in winter, with only about 2 rainy days a month. That's worth noting with Cactus League, spring training baseball in Arizona, starting play among 15 Major League Baseball teams February 20th through late March. While Oregon is not known to be a hotbed for Scottsdale tourists, folks from neighboring Northern California come here every year to watch their beloved San Francisco Giants, who have their spring training home at Scottsdale Stadium. The Californians are joined by baseball fans and folks just trying to get in from the cold from Midwestern and Eastern cities. They will be basking in the sun at Scottsdale Stadium and Salt River Fields at Talking Stick. The latter is a stadium complex in the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community, just a bunt from the Scottsdale border along Pima Road. The Arizona Diamondbacks and Colorado Rockies both play their home games at Salt River Fields. They crank up Cactus League at 1:10 p.m. Friday, February 20th. Technically, the first Cactus League pitch is scheduled for 5 minutes earlier, when the Kansas City Royals and Texas Rangers square off in surprise. The Diamondbacks and Rockies meet again at Talking Sticks at 1:10 p.m. Saturday, February 21st. Scottsdale Stadium joins the action at 1:10 p.m. Sunday, February 22nd, when the Giants host the Chicago Cubs. The Illinois crowd is still shivering off one of its coldest winters in decades. Ticket prices for the first game at Scottsdale Stadium range from $44 for outfield grass to $125 for third base line. For the first game at Salt River Fields, tickets range from $23 to $71. Baseball and Sun has been a winning battery here for years. The Cactus League brought over $710 million in total economic impact to the Valley, according to an ASU economic impact study. Last year, just under 1.7 million fans visited 224 games, 65,000 more than in 2024, the league announced. Around the Valley, 15 Major League Baseball teams play at 10 ballparks. Since the pandemic, Scottsdale raked in around $32 to $35 million per year in bed tax, a percentage of hotel-motel stays, and restaurant sales tax. February and March, when spring training is bringing in visitors, combine for nearly a third of that. Baseball boom. The Old Town Tavern is a 5-minute stroll from Scottsdale Stadium. After 16 years at his original location, Paul Mitchell moved the bar, 25 feet away, to a larger space still in the Civic Center Mall. Just off Main Street from the galleries, this is an inviting space to have a refreshment. The Old Town Tavern's Come Hither patio has been filled for the last month. "We did a great crowd with Parada," Mitchell said, referring to the Parada del Sol event and after parade party. "We had a great weekend for the golf tournament, numbers I didn't think I'd see. But those 2 weeks are an appetizer, with the main course on the way." "Spring training is always the best," Mitchell said. "There's nothing that compares to spring training." "Spring training holds you through the summer months," the Philadelphia transplant added. "You can't feel that you're rich for the 45 days money is pouring in and go waste it all away. You've got to stash it someplace for when you need it." The Old Town Tavern hosts bands every afternoon, which helps lure in the party crowd. Mitchell said the Cactus League crowd is generally well-mannered, though he has a strategy for those who get a little too lively. "I run a pretty clean ship. I have security on at all times," Mitchell said. "For those who get a little too rowdy, the way I handle that, and I'm there every day, is I go up to the person and I say, 'Look, I want to ask you to leave, but I don't want to call the police. So if you leave and come back tomorrow, I'll buy the first drink.' And that usually works." What's new? Cactus League fans know to find music and fun at the Old Town Tavern and Been There Forever Rusty Spur across Brown Avenue. Even closer to the stadium, the historic Mission Old Town, Goldwater Brewing Company, and Broad House continue to offer post-game drinks and bites. But a few long-time Old Town venues are gone. R&R Gastropub, the energetic upscale sports bar with the C&B Scene deck on Scottsdale Road since 2010, closed last year. Raw Sushi Next Door also closed last year, with STK Steakhouse moving into the Old Town space. Across Scottsdale Road, the Salty Senorita closed 2 years before. It and the R&R space are vacant, as well as nearby Buca di Beppo Italian restaurant, which closed early last year. Something new for baseball fans nearby? Arizona Baseball Legacy and Experience is sponsoring the Old Town Baseball Experience, a mini museum at Frasher's Tavern, Old Town Steakhouse and Bar since 1999. Frasher's is honored to carry on the baseball traditions of Old Town Scottsdale and such great places of the past, like the Pink Pony and Don and Charlie's, said owner George Frasher. The Old Town Baseball Experience will feature displays on the early history of Arizona baseball, including the Outlaw Leagues, the origins of spring training, the modern Cactus League, and Scottsdale's outstanding tradition of high school baseball. At 4180 North Drinkwater Boulevard, Frasher's Tavern is near the old Scottsdale High School, where Hall of Fame pitcher Jim Palmer launched his pitching career. The next generation of would-be Jim Palmers and their fans will notice a few updates to Scottsdale Stadium. Giants players arrived back on site last Monday and officially report for team activities this week, Kyle Urban, the manager of Scottsdale Stadium, said February 9th. Since last season, Urban added, the Giants and City have collaborated to replace the stadium scoreboard with a new Mitsubishi scoreboard and two digital ribbon boards on both home and visitor baselines. The new installation replaces an aging board with a state-of-the-art equipment that should be far brighter and visible for fans all over the ballpark. On the southern edge of Old Town, Scottsdale Stadium is at 7408 East Osborne Road. Salt River Fields at Talking Stick is 6 miles north at 7555 North Pima Road. For information and tickets, you can visit cactusleague.com. And that article was titled, Scottsdale Winds Up for Cactus League. Bungling Bitcoin Boy Bandits Bust It by Tom Scanlon. A Scottsdale Police Department officer's probable cause statement reveals chilling details of a home invasion, during which two California teenagers schemed to rob a resident of millions in cryptocurrency. The bungling boy Bitcoin bandits apparently missed their target, going to the wrong address. The morning of January 31st, officers responded to a distress call from a residence near 96th Street and Cactus Road. Responding officers heard a female victim inside the residence screaming and a juvenile suspect struggling with an adult male. When the officers entered the home, the two young suspects ran out of the back, jumped in a car, and raced away, driving erratically. Police chased the two, who drove into a nearby strip mall and hit a dead end. Both suspects, identified as juveniles, were taken into custody without incident or injury, according to the report. Police later identified the suspects as 17-year-old Jackson Sullivan and 16-year-old Skylar LaPea. Sullivan initially refused to talk, demanding a lawyer. LaPea told officers he recently met Sullivan and they had been extorted by someone named Red to complete the home invasion, according to the police report. The two posed as delivery drivers to break into the home. Officers rescued two adults restrained with black duct tape. Near the victims, officers found zip ties, a roll of black duct tape, a moving dolly, a Home Depot brand box, and various UPS-type pieces of clothing. Also near the victims was a black gun, later determined to be a 3D-printed gun. There was no ammunition in the gun. Police learned the 911 caller was the victim's adult son who'd been hiding in the back of the house. The male victim, who suffered minor injuries but did not ask for medical attention, said he answered the front door to two people posing as package delivery people with the box and dolly. When he opened the door, the fake delivery men pushed their way in, threw the homeowner to the ground, and tied him up. The second victim was also grabbed and restrained with duct tape. The subjects demanded that the male victim provide them access to his Bitcoin, of which he denied having. The teenager slammed the man's head against the ground to try to get him to cooperate. The arrival of the police ended the assault and home invasion, with the suspects fleeing out of the back of the residence. Hours later, LaPaia was interviewed by police. He said he knew Sullivan only by his first name, and they met through a mutual friend approximately 1 month prior. LaPaia and said Sullivan asked if he wanted to make $66 million in cryptocurrency by going to Scottsdale, tying people up, and getting them to give them their cryptocurrency. The teenagers received instructions on the Signal app from someone called Red and another known as 8. They gave Sullivan $1,000 to buy supplies, according to LaPaia. The two left the San Luis Obispo area January 31st and arrived in Scottsdale around 5 a.m. They stole a license plate off a similar vehicle in Scottsdale, bought zip ties, black duct tape at Target, and a box, a screwdriver, and a dolly at Home Depot, both in Scottsdale. Sullivan previously bought a FedEx uniform on Amazon. LaPaia said when they first arrived at the victim's home, yard workers were there, so they parked down the street and waited. When they returned, they used the dolly and the cardboard box with their uniforms to make contact at the front door. LaPaia confirmed the story of forcing their way in and taping up the victims, but claimed they never assaulted them. According to the report, Sullivan's mother called police in California because she had found text messages on his phone in regard to dressing up like a UPS and committing a burglary and splitting the proceeds of the crime. An address in Scottsdale, Arizona, down the street from the actual incident location, was provided in the text messages. That California Police Department then called Scottsdale Police Department to notify them of a possible burglary, according to the report. But the call came too late. Scottsdale police received that information after the incident had occurred. The juveniles faced felony charges. The two were released after their families posted $50,000 bonds. Both were fitted with electronic monitoring devices. The Scottsdale Police Department is handling the investigation, which is still active, said Officer Aaron Boland. No other suspects have been identified yet. Scottsdale Police Chief Joe DelDuke congratulated his officers. This case reflects the outstanding teamwork, training, and decisive action of our officers. They moved quickly, coordinated effectively, and brought a dangerous situation to a safe conclusion, LaDuke said. And he warned, if you come to Scottsdale to commit violent crimes, our officers will find you and hold you accountable. Guthrie Tye rejected. Some speculated that the Scottsdale case would be related to the Nancy Guthrie kidnapping. Both crimes likely took place January 31st. Guthrie, the mother of Today's Show co-host Savannah Guthrie, was reported missing from her Tucson home February 1st. And some saw a link in that the California teenagers demanded Bitcoin from a Scottsdale resident. The alleged ransom note for the 84-year-old Guthrie demanded $6 million ransom in cryptocurrency. But according to Scottsdale Police Officer Aaron Bullen, the Scottsdale case is not known to have ties to the Guthrie case. Pima County law enforcement didn't reach out to us, Bullen added. And that article is titled, Bungling Bitcoin Boy Bandits Busted. Scottsdale Unified Employee Resigns After Smuggling Arrest, by Tom Scanlon. A school district art director thought he could moonlight and make some easy cash. But when the moonlit desert scene was interrupted by police lights, a Snapchat offer ended with the snap of a handcuff. Now, in a case rocking the district, a Scottsdale Unified School District employee is out of a job and facing federal charges of smuggling illegal immigrants. Victor Bobet, previously listed by Scottsdale Unified School District as Art Director, Graphic Design, resigned after his January 27th arrest for allegedly attempting to transport undocumented immigrants. The Scottsdale resident was pulled over in the desert between Tucson and Mexico before he was able to make the planned pickup. The district is aware of the arrest of an employee on allegations involving the transportation of undocumented individuals for profit, said Christine Harrington, Scottsdale Unified School District's Chief Communications and Information Officer. We are fully cooperating with law enforcement, she added. The employee was immediately placed on administrative leave and has subsequently resigned. Bobbitt told Border Patrol agents who busted him he never did this before, but was short on money and answered an ad on social media. According to Harrington, who oversaw the employee, Victor Bobbitt started working in the district February 20, 2018. All appropriate hiring processes were followed. He had a clean background check, a fingerprint clearance card, and reference checks. The case. On January 28th, federal charging papers state Bobbitt knowingly and intentionally conspired to transport certain illegal aliens and did so for the purpose of private financial gain. The night before, according to a federal agent's report, Border Patrol agents were performing roving patrol duties on the Tohono O'odham Nation, the portion of the tribal land southwest of Tucson and near the Mexican border, is a closed nation to non-tribal members with few exceptions. Just before midnight, Border Patrol agents spotted a black 2018 Ford Edge traveling west on State Route 86 turning on to Federal Route 16. Smuggling organizations commonly use State Route 86 and the various federal route roads on the Tohono O'odham Nation to conduct operations due to the desolate and rugged terrain, as well as the easy access to Interstate 10, the report notes. FR 16 is a paved road that travels from SR 86 towards Sells, Arizona, and is not commonly used by non-tribal members due to its lack of commercial centers and tourist attractions. Border Patrol agents communicated the information with the Tohono O'odham Police Department, which tracked the Ford going north on Spencer Road toward SR 86. Record checks on the edge returned to Victor Michael Bobbitt out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Smuggling organizations often recruit drivers from outside of the Tohono O'odham Nation. Tribal police pulled over Bobbitt at 12:32 a.m. for several moving violations. When Border Patrol agents showed up, Bobbitt gave them permission to search his vehicle, according to the report. Agents discovered several indicators of a planned pickup of illegal aliens. The indicators included several water bottles and blankets, often used for concealment, located in the rear cargo area of the vehicle. When he was questioned, Bobbitt admitted that he was there to transport four illegal aliens in exchange for $3,000 per person. His phone showed pin locations and conversations providing directions and coordination consistent with human smuggling, according to the report. Agents informed Bobbitt he had the right to remain silent or request an attorney. Instead, he was apparently willing to confess his crimes. Bobbitt stated he saw a Snapchat story showing a lot of cash, and he contacted the user to ask how they made all that money. The user explained to Bobbitt that they needed drivers, and the conversation was moved to WhatsApp, the report states. A recruiter told Bobbitt they had a pickup near the border town of San Miguel, and that he would be paid to drive individuals from a pickup point towards Phoenix. Bobbitt explained that the recruiters controlled the pickup location and that he understood that the individuals he was picking up were probably in the United States illegally, the report continues. He drove from Phoenix to a grocery store located near Interstate 19, where he received a pin location for the pickup area. He was told to park in the area, honk his horn once, and wait for the individuals to approach his vehicle. While traveling to the pin location, he received several more pin locations and became lost and felt like he was driving in circles. At one point, he passed an unmanned Border Patrol checkpoint, and the recruiters told him to hold up. The recruiters never gave him instructions on how to respond to law enforcement or avoid checkpoints. According to the criminal complaint, Bobbitt's plan was to load two individuals into the backseat low and out of sight, and two more individuals in the cargo area. On July 30th, Judge Bruce McDonald of the United States District Court for the District of Arizona ordered Bobbitt to be released from custody. A trial date has not been scheduled as of this newspaper's deadline. Split decision. Though Bobbitt submitted his resignation February 6th, at its February 10th meeting, the Scottsdale Unified School District Governing Board debated on what to do before accepting it in a split decision. Part of the consent agenda, items that are voted on as one without presentations or discussions, included multiple personnel actions. Board member Amy Carney asked to pull one employee, Mr. Bobbitt, who is under resignation. I know he's been arrested on a federal level, Carney said. We have not received enough information to accept the resignation. I agree it's difficult to make a decision on what we don't know and have enough information about, added Mr. Patinsky. Jennifer McLellan, the district's contracted attorney, urged the board to accept the resignation, given that it would end his employment immediately. Board member Corrine Warner asked about terminating Bobbitt instead. McLean responded that the board has two options. One is to move forward and terminate. The other is to accept resignation. We urge you to end the employment tonight, the attorney reiterated. When Warner asked if an arrest would be cause for termination, the attorney said, it would depend on the situation. At McLellan's urging, the board went into a private executive session to further discuss the Bobbitt matter. After returning to public, a motion to accept Bobbitt's resignation passed 1-3. Patinsky, Mike, and Sharkey and Donna Lewis voted in favor of the acceptance. Carney voted against accepting the resignation. Warner abstained, saying, there are some times that terminations apply. In my opinion, this would be one of them. Being that this is not an option according to legal, I abstain. Photos passion. Bobbitt's wife, Abby Naughton Bobbitt, is a teacher at Scottsdale Unified School District. On his PhotoFill Flickr account, Bobbitt says, my love for photography started with nature photography, and now expanding to the more diverse subject matter portraits being the latest and now drone photography. His striking photos are mostly nature shots. In his introduction, Bobbitt says, I've been married to my beautiful wife, Abby, for 19 years now, together for 26, and I'm an Arizona native living in Scottsdale, Arizona. He says the couple have one son, a high school student. The progress is not publishing the name of Bobbitt's child. And that article was titled Scottsdale Unified Employee Resigns After Smuggling Arrest. You've been listening to the East Valley News featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. All your favorite programming is available anytime on demand at sunsounds.org. I'm your volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. I hope you have a great rest of your day.